Good morning. Today is Monday, July 19th, 2021. I will say this. If you hear what sounds like a small aircraft during the teaching, a fly came in with our little doggies earlier. So that's all it is. Well, so far this year, we have looked at scriptures to consider what God says concerning himself and then his son. And now, we'll begin to regard God's word concerning Holy Spirit. And this morning we'll start with part one. Very prayerfully, we are following this progression I mentioned with a specific view toward developing the joyful cognizance of our personal relationship with the Heavenly Father. You know, to be just mindful all day long of just how very present he is in our lives, how we are benefited by his loving, gracious, merciful ways, and how we are enabled to help people in this day and time. 1 Peter 2:2 says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." So, you know, we're always going to be growing, and it takes nourishment from the word to do so. When we partake of the milk of the word, we will perceive, that's what that word taste, we will perceive the flavor of God's nature and his graciousness to all of mankind. And that's what's so wonderful about God. It's not that he loves me, but he loves all of mankind, regardless of mankind's interest or lack thereof in him. His kindness will nourish our hearts. His love and his care for us will ease the distractions and worries that come to our minds as we move in and out through this wicked, wicked world. You know, there's no need to be offended by these verses because they mention newborn babes. Maybe we've been in the Word for years, but it is no surprise after years of walking spiritually that we would be like a newborn, that we would desire the milk, the taste, the nourishment of the word. That should be our norm. Would you rather be like a new believer who picks up the Bible every spare second to taste something else, to see something else? Or would you rather be like a crusty old salt in the word that thinks by this time we know it all, there's nothing else to know? You know, I know you would rather be like a newborn, right? Of course. Every time we go to the word of God, our heart should receive the word as one would receive a nourishing meal of fresh ingredients. That upon digestion. And that requires God's help. He is our digestive aid when it comes into taking the word. With God's help would invigorate our spiritual understanding. This day and time, everyone talks about wellness. Well, really, there it is. That is the foundation for true wellness. Way back in January, in the teaching time with the author, I think it might have been the first one of the new year, we read verses about going into the scriptures on your own to spend time with God, reading what he said to us and meditating upon his words, mulling them over in our hearts. And I mentioned that we would see much more how our time in God's word would benefit us as we move along in these teachings and get to the place where we look at the work and functioning of the Holy Spirit. And here we are. We're right at the get-go. So we're not going to rush through this subject in the Word of God. It really is the most life-changing reality we could ever grasp. So I encourage you to be patient We don't intend for these little segments to be very long, and we would love to be able just to devour them during the week so that you're ready for the next section, the next part. So here we go. Let's let the Word of God speak to us concerning Holy Spirit, part one. In Isaiah 6:3, and one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord," which is Jehovah, "the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Well, this attribute, holy, this attribute of God is stated three times, one right after the other in this verse. There is no other ascribed to God given in this rapid succession like this. We don't read God as love, 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 or God as light, light, light. But here we read he is holy, holy, holy. And that echoes the completeness of his divine sacredness. He is set apart. He is pure. He is clean, free from the defilement of any profane thing. The word, the Hebrew word for holy is an adjective. Now, bear with me, but this is important. An adjective is a word or phrase naming an attribute grammatically related to a noun to describe it. Holy is the Lord. Holy is added as an attribute to describe Jehovah. Jehovah is holy. He is separated. And in the ancient use of this word, it's interesting. Holiness meant to sever, to separate, to cut away. And in the ancient times, as they would have appreciation for the finer things of life, it was kind of understood as this item is holy. It is a cut above, meaning the excellency of that item was so far above and beyond anything one could imagine. Well, certainly far above worldly things. God is far above and beyond anything anyone could ever imagine. So stopping to pause and consider what the word means, holy, holy, holy is Jehovah, it should calm any and every anxiety that would ever try to grab hold of us or attack us. What an assuring compilation of all his attributes. 1 Samuel 2:2 says, "There is none holy as our Lord, Jehovah, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock or refuge like our God." So that's the Jehovah in whom we trust. There is none beside him. There is no refuge like our God. And when the tribulations of this world start howling, when they look like they're chasing us down, 1 Samuel 2:2 tells us there is no rock like our God, no refuge. There is none beside him. That's the Jehovah in whom we trust. Deuteronomy 7:9, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. The holy, holy, holy Jehovah is a faithful God. In 1 John 1:5, "This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." And the Greek word for no at all, it's a double negative, and it means there is absolutely no trace of darkness in his nature. in his being. And again, we're looking at all of the attributes. Holy is an attribute. Love is or light is an attribute. Faithfulness is an attribute. James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So the standard for Jehovah is that he is holy, holy, holy. He is faithful. He is the Father of lights. And then in 1 John 4:16, and we have known and believe the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. There is the heart of the one and only holy, 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 faithful Father of lights. You know, it's probable that you have heard and read these verses before, possibly every single one of them, and even over and over again. But as you read them today, as you read them tomorrow, the next day, their nourishment is freshly suited and well balanced for your needs on whatever particular day you read it. Because the word is alive. We don't read a verse today and not need it ever again. The next time you read it, it's as though it went by the gas station and filled up with 93 octane. It's fresh. It's full to the brim all over again to communicate to our hearts God's care, his love, his faithfulness, his holiness, and his dedication to our care. The scriptures bring to us the God-breathed words of Jehovah. So how do we think on these things we read? You know, how do we, when we read these verses, what are we thinking as we walk away from the scripture? There's certainly one common example that's current today. It's centered around our physical wellness. When we eat a healthy salad or, you know, down a protein shake, we walk away from the salad or from the shake confident that those products, that food, will do as it's supposed to do. We probably learned off the internet or in the doctor's office, well, if you eat salad, da-da-da-da-da, and if you drink a protein shake, da-da-da-da-da. Well, we down those things and we walk away just knowing that that's what's happening in our bodies. That salad gives us extra hydration, vitamins, minerals, the roughage we need for our intestines, and with the shake, we just walk away knowing that it's busy building healthy muscles and giving us all those promised benefits. You know, it's not even the God-breathed word. So what do we think after reading scriptures, these verses today? We should be satisfied and blessed at every emotional level. We can be confident that as we walk away from those verses, having put them and having revolved them in our minds, we should be confident that our God is holy, holy, holy. We can be comforted that he is light and will never dispense evil to us in any form whatsoever. We can be tenderized by the knowledge of his abiding love for all of mankind. We can be assured that he is the faithful Father of lights and that he will not change his mind on us. There's nothing that we could do that would make him change his mind. And if we walked away, he would love us. And when we return, he will love us. He is always there. We can be emboldened that the one and only holy, holy, holy Jehovah is our Father. And you really should personalize it. He is my Father. I am His precious child. You know, digest every truth. Walk away trusting that these scriptures are going to do their perfect work, just like that salad or just like that shake. We have that confidence that they're going to help us. Well, much more so with the Word of God. God is holy. There are so many ways it is stated and so many aspects to consider on God's holiness, but our leading, our reasoning in these teachings, our goal, our ultimate destination is to tenderize hearts concerning God and our walk with Him and Holy Spirit, so we desire to seek Him more and more and learn of Him and how He works within us, that we can be successful and have the most wonderful journey in life. So next we'll look at Spirit. Now John 4:24 tells us God is Spirit. And in this verse, Spirit is a noun, another part of the speech. Now a noun is a word that identifies a person, place, or thing. So this noun, Spirit, gives us God's identity. John 4:24 says, God is Spirit. That's God's identity. Spirit is a noun. Although this verse plainly states that God is Spirit, neither the verse nor the context around it really tells us what that is. It doesn't really say any more about it. It doesn't define it. So to learn more about God is Spirit, we're going to have to keep reading in the Bible. It will give us the answers. And it's always important, again, these are very simple verses that most of us learned years upon years ago, but they are as true today and as important to us as they were the first day we heard them. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. All the things that we've just read, they were given by the inspiration of God. And then in 2 Peter 1:21, we read that the scriptures did not come by the will of man, but that holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So this scripture lets us know right up front, hey, men did not make up a storyline. They did not make this stuff up. But holy men of God, men who loved and sought out God and submitted their hearts and their lives under His mighty hand, they spoke as the Holy Spirit moved within them. God had these men write what He wanted written. So from there, you think about it, because now we're going to have to read more to get the definition of Spirit. The scriptures, these God-breathed words, these words that men spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, these scriptures were originally in Hebrew, Aramaic, or Greek. For example, whatever language Matthew spoke, whether it was Hebrew or whether it was Aramaic, his gospel, the Gospel of Matthew, was scribed in the language he used to communicate. And it worked that way from Genesis to Revelation. Those first editions, they were the scriptures given by inspiration of God. That was the edition that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. But we read the Bible in English. And this can cause some hindrances because translators are in between us and that God-breathed word that was originally given. Now, even as good-hearted as a translator might be, his personal beliefs will flavor his work. Translations are not God-breathed, not a single one. And you know, just the other day, I was curious and I Googled it and I read that currently there are about 900 English translations of the Bible, either in part or in full. I mean, some of them just handle the Old Testament, some just handle the New. And I saw a translation recently that just handled the Gospels. So, you know, but this is important to remember when reading through sections of the Word, because we do have translators in the middle. And we don't let that ruin the experience, but we do have to be warned. Because when we read through sections of the Word that seem to contradict a holy, 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 faithful, loving Father of lights, in whom there is no darkness at all, you have to remember, wait a minute, something is wrong, either in my understanding, and it always could be me, but I also have to think about what was the translator's theology when he did that. I'm sure he was very sincere, and I'm sure he did the Lord a great, he felt he did the Lord and the believers a great work, and so anyway, but it is equally helpful as we continue our reading to see what God is Spirit really means. That is why for those of us who desire to live according to God's will, we favor that King James Version of the Bible. Because, yes, it does have errors here and there, but it is the easiest to navigate, and they kind of give you a heads up to the areas where it deviates from the original languages. And, you know, what are you going to do? There are no originals left. There aren't any. So it just shows even the greater need for us to have the Spirit of God, to know about the Holy Spirit, to want the Holy Spirit to be at work within us, to direct His truth to our hearts. So, having looked today at the word holy, and sort of, now we've sort of mapped out, made these points about translations, in part two, next week, we'll look at the word Spirit. So bless your hearts and have a great week. We love you.